This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon on this post-election day, covering a lot of different topics, of course, on this program. And today, wanted to kind of unveil something new, an emerging set of information from the Roseburg Urban Sanitary Authority and their general manager, Jim Baird. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So I guess, first of all, let's just back up just to make sure everybody's on the same page. People see the bill in a lot of cases, but what is the Roseburg Urban Sanitary Authority? What's the agency do, and where does it provide service?
Sure. So we're an independent government agency. We provide sanitary sewer service for the city of Roseburg and the urban growth boundary for the city. Our administrative offices are in Grandview, and our wastewater treatment plant is out on Godek. And so all of the sewer from those areas up in Winchester come all the way down to the treatment facility through a series of pipes and lift stations and whatnot. And then we treat all of that and return that water back to the South Umpqua River, clean and healthy and ready to help our community.
Now, having this sort of process is obviously a must do for a city, but it's one of those things that people don't think about very often.
Yeah, if I say this of the city's water department as well as Roos's sewer department, the only time we hear anything is when the toilets don't flush or the water doesn't run. We kind of are the silent warriors out there making sure that all of it gets transported to the treatment plant and again is treated and meets all the standards before we return it to the receiving waters.
Now, recently, RUSA and Ameresco announced a partnership to implement a new energy program. It looks a little complex. Why don't you tell me more about it?
Yeah, so it's kind of the next phase. So RUSA's been involved in looking at our energy. If you look at treating water and wastewater, energy is a big component of those costs. And so back as late as 2007, we started looking at how could we put equipment in that better utilized the power we had. We ran through lighting upgrades in 2011, 2015, and did a bunch of training. And then the most recent thing we've done here is applied for grants and loans to do three solar arrays, one at the administrative offices. That's a solar array with battery backup. That'll allow us to offset 100% of our energy consumption and have about 4 to 6 hours of emergency power. In today's age, all of our maps and all the ways we look at the system and respond to emergencies is all electronic. And so when that power goes down, we're pretty hampered with just whatever's in the gray matter of our service folks as they go out and try to take care of emergencies. So this is going to add a component to the system of sustainability and emergency response that we didn't have in the past.
Now, for your administrative office, that makes a lot of sense in terms of you don't have maps and file cabinets anymore so much and things like that. What about how this solar aspect could impact the treatment plants?
So at the treatment plant, we're simply looking to offset some of our power usage. So at the treatment plant, we'll be offsetting about 40%, 44% of the power we use. We, of course, have backup generators. Again, this is a facility that cannot be shut down. We have to run 24/7, 365. And what this is trying to do is provide some energy to the grid back that we normally would use. The challenge with the treatment plant at getting to what they call net zero or 100% offset is we use a lot of power. So for solar, it takes a lot of solar. So we've maximized the space we can put these solar panels. And again, we'll get about 44% offset with this system.
So is it all like on the physical structure of the plant then?
Actually, they're all ground-based mounted. The plant was upgraded in 83. So we have part of the structures are circa 1956 and the rest are circa 1984-ish. So none of those necessarily have looked at seismic questions with adding stuff to them. So the most cost-effective way was we had some extra real estate. We looked at that area And we said that's a good place for ground mount solar array.
Now, this ties in, or part of the funding for this, I guess, is from an Oregon Department of Energy grant. Is that right?
That's correct. So the big help that Ameresco is two points. When you apply for grants and loans through the state, it's an involved process. And we're a small organization. We have 16 people in our administrative staff, and I'm the chief administrator. And so we had gone down that path previously, and we didn't fare very well. So found Ameresco. So they're an ESCO energy service company, and they provide you a full suite of services. So they will help you apply. They will design and build and provide you the entire system with a guarantee on how much power that system is going to produce. If it doesn't meet it, then they're going to write you a check for the difference between what they said it would do and the energy that it's making for 10 years. So it's a really nice marriage between a public sector company looking out for what's the best of infrastructure and equipment and the agency trying to spend the money the best way.
So for the solar arrays at the locations, how does this work during the dark, dreary, not so much sun time of the year?
Yeah, so their models take that into consideration. So, of course, in the summertime, late spring, summer, into fall, they're going to produce more power than they are in the winter. But we're still going to produce power in the winter. And the way the Pacific Power looks at this is they look at it out of a 12-month look. So we'll be on what's called net metering. So electricity kind of runs like water. It goes wherever you push it. And so when we're making more power in the late spring through the summer into early spring, we'll be putting more power on the grid than we use. And the inverse will happen in those darker months.
So this sounds like it really could make a big difference for you.
Yeah, we look at saving about 50% of our energy in those three facilities, the administrative offices, the treatment plant, and our natural treatment system. And so that's going to help. Power has gone up twice in the last 2 years. It's expected to go up again. Pacific Power has to do what Pacific Power has to do. We're just trying to mean that increase out and try to look for opportunities, not only to save significant dollars. We look to save about $200,000 of about a $400,000 energy bill at those three facilities. But the other thing it does is it provides power for Pacific Power to give to our community for the next new home, for the next commercial building. We can only generate as much power as we can generate through Pacific Power. So these types of things actually help our community be more resilient with regard to energy.
Now, are you seeing this happen with other sanitary authorities and other places?
Yeah, I think everybody right now, the climate is really good. There's quite a bit of money out there in grants and loans with a forgiveness package, the Clean Water State Revolving Fund, which is where we are applying for the loan portion, has a forgiveness. So what it does is the return on investment, which everybody's looking for, becomes reasonable. So when I look at these projects, I would at least want them to the return on investment to be half the life of the equipment. So you're paying off the installation of the equipment for half of its life, and then you're just getting dollars out of the second half. By combining the Department of Energy's grant, which is just a grant, it's not tied to a loan, and the Clean Water State Revolving Fund, we should be able to get this into a very nice return on investment so that we can see those benefits quickly for our customers.
All right, more when we come back. Jim Baird from the Roseburg Urban Sanitary Authority. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson is coming up at 1, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show with the Commissioner of Dirt ahead at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And tomorrow for Inside Douglas County, I'll be out live at Aviva for Aviva Health Pets and their Vets event. out on the nonprofit campus. So we'll be out there live for the noon hour. Jim Baird with us, the general manager of the Roseburg Urban Sanitary Authority, talking about some changes they've made to help improve things for Roosin. How long have you been there?
I've been there 15 years. I've been general manager, I believe, for about 7 years. So I started out as the engineering and operations manager when I went to work for the RUSA. And when that position was changed when I was hired, the intent was to groom the next general manager. So that gave me a really good start to understand this organization.
So your background was probably in something similar?
So I have kind of a civil engineering background. I'm not a civil engineer, but I started at the city of Roseburg in their public works and water as a engineering technician. I went private sector for about 10 years after that. So I was 10 years with the city. I went private sector for about 10 years, helped a local family start up a company that made wastewater and stormwater pumping stations. They did that for about 10 years. And then I came back to the public sector with RUSA.
So one of the things as well I was seeing from the information we got is that you're working on some energy education curriculum for schools?
Yeah, I haven't had a lot of chance. We've been busy with all these applications. So that's something that Ameresco does as part of their company model. So I'm not quite sure how that's going to roll out yet, but we'll certainly keep you informed as that progresses. As you might understand, there's a whole lot of paperwork to do, you know, with the government to try to get everything they need so they can feel comfortable they can give you these loans and these grants.
And obviously a lot of work went into getting even this far.
Yeah, it's taken us I started it originally, and as I said, in the first round I failed. So this second round, when we teamed up with Ameresco, we were much more able to get everything done in the timely manner. But we hope that we'll see the office project, the administrative offices, start next year. We'll start at the wastewater treatment plant next year. And then in 26, we should start at the natural treatment system. That's kind of an interesting one. We started out that one with a ground-based array, as is pretty typical. We have a storage pond there that we store water so that the diurnal curve, so that's how people use sewer. It goes up and down during the day. Well, we needed to be able to store that because we pump at a regular rate onto that natural treatment system to polish the water. So I switched it to a floating array. And the reason to switch it to a floating array is temperature in the South Umpqua River is an important thing. We don't want to raise the temperature. Fish don't like that. And the DEQ is actually in the midst of finishing their temperature, what they call total daily load, maximum load. And I wanted to do something to keep that sun energy from transferring to the pond, because we know that once we have that energy, it doesn't just go away. So we switched it, changed from 100% offset to 64%, but that's just phase one. I'd like to go back and finish up the other 36% with a ground-based array.
So is a lot of this work more likely to take place kind of in the spring and summer?
Most likely, yeah. As anything else, it's easier and less costly to build when it's not raining and wet and whatnot. We've been doing some prep at the wastewater treatment plant, grading out some area, the area where we're going to put the arrays in advance of it. One of the kind of touchy, you know, if you want to get grant or loan funding, you can't do it before you actually sign the paperwork. So we want to be careful about how much money we invest in the project before we're actually able to get some of that back.
Wow, a lot going on to this. Now, sanitary authorities, any idea how many of them there are in Oregon?
No, I can tell you that of the ones our size, we're called a major. There's 52 majors. I don't know how many minors. There's literally hundreds of sanitary authorities or cities that provide sanitary as well. So we're kind of unique. We're our own government agency. Most of the time, the sewer and water is handled by the local city. And so in 83, we split into a regional authority, providing that larger area service, and the city stayed with supplying the water service.
So now, like, if at some point, if the city's urban growth boundary grows, would you follow it then?
Yeah, so it's most likely it doesn't automatically happen. When the urban growth boundary changes or grows, and we're working through that right now to the west where the urban growth boundary switch is going on, and we then typically the city would bring that to our board and ask that it be included in our boundary. And to date, in 15 years, I've never seen us say no. The only time we'd say no is if we had a capacity issue. And our treatment plant in the summer, we run about 3 million gallons a day through it. It's rated at 7.9. So we have a lot of capacity to serve additional areas built into the system.
Now, you mentioned all the things that RUSA does. Of course, we talked about the obvious importance of the service you provide. And I'm struck by the fact that you're doing it with a staff of how many?
We have 16 that we do at our administrative, and then we hire an outside company, Jacobs, to run the plant, and they have 11 people.
So that's just over a couple dozen people to do something that's incredibly important.
It is, and it keeps our people real busy and focused. We have a great maintenance crew. Our maintenance crew is a lofty 6 people. So they're out there every day maintaining the system, repairing the system. You'll see our trucks around cleaning the system. We clean every piece of pipe on a 3-year rotation, and we run a camera down it. We call it CCTV on about a 5-year rotation so we can see problems before they become major problems. So yeah, a lot of work.
And I know talking to some of the other smaller cities in the area, I mean, we're all really at this point where communities in Western Oregon have got a lot of aging infrastructure, and some communities have had to, whether it's sewer or water or both, start over or modernize. It's a lot of work to probably keep track of.
Yeah, and we actually have pipes that are over 100 years old that we're still using. That's a little scary. But yeah, we're aggressively either replacing or doing what they call internal rehabilitation. So that's when we send a liner down the pipe and then cure it in place. And basically, you get a pipe inside of a pipe. So it's a more cost-effective way, allows us to do more footage. But we've been doing rehab and replacement for probably now about 22 years. We continue to do that. This year we put about $2 million back in the system. Next year we're already putting together our plans. We're going to do about $3 to $3.5 million back into the infrastructure to ensure it will be safe and sound and transfer that waste again to the treatment plant so we can clean it up.
Now, you mentioned the number of staff. What are some of the, outside of the plant, what are some of the things that people actually do?
So, of course, we have our finance department, so they make everybody happy with the bill. But they're there to make sure that financially we're sound. So they take care of the payments, the notifications, certainly all of our banking. Our finance director, I always like to say, keeps me on the straight and narrow on our spending. And then we have an engineering department. Right now it's three people. So they work with local engineers and engineers out of the area to design these projects and implement them. They also look at any new projects, subdivisions, and other areas where infrastructure will be placed. We don't build infrastructure for new subdivisions. That's all on the developer. But once they're done to our standards, then we take care of it forever. And then, of course, everybody's got to have an IT guy, and we have one, and he's overworked. and then there's just me. So that's the layout of the group, and it's kind of a mini city, right? We have many of the same concerns and objectives.
Now, along with the monthly bill that people see, is there other funding sources for RUSA?
It's mostly the monthly bill. So we have what we call residential and commercial customers. Those are at our base rate. And then we have other folks whose sewer is harder to treat, restaurants and the Umpqua Dairy. And so they have a scale that's designed to cover their additional cost to treat their sewer. So yeah, we are 100% fee-based. We only work off that. The occasional, this is probably the largest grants that we've done and been successful with. So majority comes out of what folks send us every month.
Wow, a lot to think about, to know about with RUSA. Any future plans for the organization?
Well, we hope to continue doing what we're doing and provide quality sewer treatment and enhance the water that goes to the river. We're, of course, looking at the new area that the city has proposed be brought into the urban growth boundary. I have an engineering team that's going to work on a study to figure out how are we going to sewer this area. It happens to be below almost everything we do. And if you know about water, it flows downhill. And if you run out of downhill, then you have to pump it back. So that'll be a bit of a challenge, figure out how to sewer that property, what the developers are going to do, how that all fits together. And then just keeping up what we have is a huge job.
Wow. And if people want to find out more about this particular project, do you have anything online about that?
Yeah. So at our website, which is RUSA, R-U-S-A, -or.org, which is our website, or just type in RUSA. I don't know how, but when you type it in Google, it's the first one that comes up. So we didn't pay any money, but luckily it's right there. And so we have the announcement of the grants. That's where we'll do the progress reports on what we're going to do. Most likely there'll be pictures and other things that show how this proceeds over the next couple of years.
All right. Jim Baird, General Manager of the Roseburg Urban Sanitary Authority. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.